What date was it, 17th?
Today is November 18th, 2017.
I was on 17th or 18th.
Okay, so what is your name?
Virginia Wilmerdush.
And where do you live?
Englewood.
And what's your occupation?
Nothing right now.
What'd you used to do?
Oh, a cowboy.
Okay, and how old are you?
74.
Okay, and your name?
I'm Old Wesson, huh?
And where do you live?
Englewood.
Okay, and what's your occupation?
I'm retired.
Okay, and...
Supposedly.
Yes?
And I'm still mayor.
And you're the mayor?
I'm the mayor.
Of Englewood.
Of Englewood.
And how old are you?
78.
Okay, so...
Almost 100.
Okay, so... One of you answer this first. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire? You.
When I got the page, I still get pages. And
for being on the fire department?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had it last. I got the page. I stand and looked that north window. And they was going out, and I knew then the wind was blowing 30, 35, and I told Carol, I said, this is not good. She said, why is that? And I said, wind's blowing too hard. It's going to be all day and all night, maybe. I was wrong.
Yeah.
It was a lot longer.
A little longer, yeah. So, Olin, when did you hear about the fire?
Well, June and I had gone to Laverne. About, we'd done a little business down there, and about 11:30, we come out of Laverne, and I could see smoke up kind of to the west of us.
Yep.
And I said, that don't look good. I said, that could hit Englewood. And so, anyway, we went on home. We had lunch, and I, about 12:30 or 1, I thought, well, I think I'll go out and see where that smoke's at. When I walked outside, I could look west, and you could see the smoke coming up. Looked like fire just right under. Well, it wasn't just a little later. Why, about 5-10 minutes, you could see smoke and fire way up in there. So I went out west of town, and I thought, well, good nights have wheat out here. More than likely won't get to town. So I went on kind of checking things out and what thinking about what I ought to do if it gets to town. Seemed like everything I thought up was wrong, but it did come to town.
So
I went back to town. Well, my neighbor, we watched it come down, and it was kind of west of Walker's and Harrington's, and then it was a little farther back, right west of us. We was on the Claremont Road. And anyway, we sat there and watched a little while, and then Walker's evacuated, and I went back to town, and I waited a little while, and it looked like the fire was started down the creek. So I went back west of town, and there was the Gordon Harrington and I fired and finally got to town, and Gordon Harrington and I started back out west, and Mary Cox's place, and Jerry and Joyce's and Monty's place was on fire.
Do you remember what time that was?
No.
Was it dark yet?
No, it wasn't dark yet. It was still daylight.
And what was the smoke like? Was it gray or black?
It was black.
Black. And could you see big flames still leaping, like you said earlier?
Big flames. And it seemed like it would, you know, the way flames were way high, and then there was kind of like sparks or something, but it was hot enough that the grass would just ignite way ahead of the flame, where the flames were burning. And then, you know, then it'd get bigger right quick. And then, so I come back to town and went up north here, and there was fire that was, looked like it was getting in down in Eileen's yard. I jumped out and I took a shovel and I scraped that out, and I thought, well, that'll be all right. And so I went on and then Bouts.
Yeah, Kenny Bouts.
The fire jumped the highway right there at his place. And it just, I mean, it just seemed like it engulfed it right now.
So what were you doing?
Mama made me leave town. I wanted to stay. See if we had a truck left. Knew that I could go ahead and spray it out, you know, keep stuff from getting it bad.
Right.
But she made me leave.
Where'd you go?
We went up Bang Road. By the time we got to Ashley Gardeners, they had bales burning already. And went on in, hit Ashton, and they run us off it. We went on east, went south to Sitkin on down state line, come back across.
So were you still in Englewood when they said to evacuate Englewood, or did you leave before they started the evacuation?
I don't know. Don't remember. All I know is I was, like I said, I wanted to see if I had a truck left. That's all I could think about, but I knew she wouldn't go if I didn't. So you got to
go. Yeah, got to go. So did you go out west of town any?
Yeah, she went out. Had to go out. This is when England went by. We got a call just right after that. That fire was at the Mackey Bridge. There, south of me. They had jumped in. And our good friend Faye Ediger, we headed out there. We couldn't get there. We got up on a hill. Her son-in-law and all of her grandsons were there, parked. They'd tried to go on out. I couldn't see the drive. So they'd stopped there, and we pulled up, stopped, and at that time there was fire straight north of us. We was a mile from their house. And you could see that fire right up there going, and it was, like I said, it was rolling hard.
So were you still out that way when the wind shifted?
No.
So you came back to town and then went on, headed on over to Ashland. So were you out looking still when the wind shifted, brought it into town?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you get an evacuation? Did somebody come over and tell Englewood to evacuate?
They tried to get me to leave.
But who came and gave the notice to leave? Who did the evacuation? Was it a sheriff or a?
I got called on the phone.
Yeah.
On June, my wife called me and I said, well, I need to be around here and see if I can maybe stop the fire if it goes towards somebody's house.
So did she leave?
She left. She went out to our daughter's place out east of Gate. They have Wakefield all the way around their house. So they was pretty safe there.
So were you still in town when all of the fire trucks came back here?
Yes, I was.
Were you able to direct them where things were going, or was it just a lot of chaos?
They had people calling them, telling them where to go, so I stayed out of it. But I went, after I left Eileen's, I thought, well, theirs will be okay, because I got that fire kicked out, and it won't come back. Well, it did, but someone else noticed it, and... They had gotten their wood pile right there by their door, and someone got in there and throwed that all back and got stopped that, took the fire truck up there and wet everything down. Well, I went around, and the fire was kind of back to the south of the elevators, and the east elevator, you know, anyway, I thought, well, I'll throw these tree limbs away from that scale house and stuff, and it'll probably be all right. It hadn't got where June grew up, hadn't got that house yet. Anyway, then, so I went on around, and Woodsy's house was burning. And I stopped there, and I said, is there anything I can do? Nope. That fire come across that field, went under that them cedar trees, and got in that deck on that house, and went right in the window. I don't know, understand it, but that's the way it happened.
So did it come across town pretty quickly? Was it burning in both the west and the east part of town at the same time?
Yeah, it come in the creek, and then from the creek, well, it spread both ways. Well, they had a fire truck down at Brenda's, and they tried, well, it caught her garage on fire right quick, but they had that fire truck there, and they kept spraying her house and that garage. Finally, the fire went on past, and they did save her house.
You know,
it was hot enough that it scorched the shingles and siding.
That's something. Ben was down there in Wheatfield,
right.
That's where we stopped, and she come in there, and she's pretty shook up. Somebody called her from here in town, told her, maybe it's old, I don't know, but said that it was all around her house or something. She shook up because she had lost, they're going to lose her house, you know.
Right.
And she said firemen are there, but said, I don't think they can save it. I said, yes, firemen will. I have confidence in them. I've been around them too much. And finally got her calmed down. Like I said, she did. She lost all that stuff outside, but yeah. Her house still left.
Her house, yeah.
Got the pool house.
Even if they did run over hydrant out there, drive over it.
I think hydrants were a big casualty of the fire. So, when were you aware there wasn't any water left in Englewood?
Right after it went dry.
Yeah. Was that early in the fire? Were they?
Well, no, that was after the fire got to town. But
so did it go through town pretty quickly? And was it here and then gone, or were you fighting fires for hours?
Seemed like it took forever to go through, but it couldn't have been over an hour.
And then were there lots of little burns still happening that they need to go around and put out?
There was places where it kept a little fire break out. As soon as it go a little ways, then it spread out. And the wind was behind it where it kept it going again.
Yeah.
But anyway, then I come back around after I come past Woodsy's place and come back around, and the scale house was burned down. It didn't burn that.
It's
a junk that needed burned for the last 40 years right across the road from it. And then by that time, about since everything was gone. And how it missed the Mexicans, I don't know. And how it missed Mosley's. They got enough junk there that.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I
guess it was because it was close to the firehouse.
And the wind just kept blowing stuff?
But the wind changed to the south, and then in about an hour it turned back, and it I mean, it was blowing it south. It changed to the northwest and come in blowing.
Is that when it got the cemetery?
When it went to the, now I don't know.
I don't either.
Because I didn't go north of town. It was, that was burning so hot up there, I decided I didn't need to. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even going to go there.
Yeah.
But, the cemetery, I don't know, it was a straight fire.
It might have been right in the line of the fire because...
It was in the line of the straight line of fire because all that whole country up there pretty much went all at the same time, but the power didn't go out till after we'd gone out to me and Gordon Harrington went back out to their place. It burned a big barn down and stuff, and the fuel tank was on fire. Then we went over to Harry's, see if anything was there, and there was a little, a limb had gone through their yard, and there's one of them limbs that fell out of a tree right there by their house, and it was laying up against their house, and it started just a little corner of their house on fire. And then this, I don't know what his name was, but he grabbed a garden hose and come and put that little dab of fire out. And then just about 5 minutes while the power lines burned up. And so...
So was it dark when it did that, or was it still light?
Still light.
Light? So all of Englewood had pretty much burnt by the time...
Yeah,
it got dark. And then it was already on its way to Ashland and that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they asked people to evacuate Englewood, did they mostly go down to the Wheatfield Ditch Valley, or where else did they go?
Some of them went to the intersection, 64 intersection, and then some of them come back when. Fire was still crossing the highway back down south there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them come back and, Gordon Sampson, they come back. They drove through fire coming back. They said the fire's already through Englewood. Well, they went home and the fire had come up out of the creek and got one of their outbuildings that was close to their house. That was a deal where there was so much fire that there wasn't no way to stop all of it.
That's just it. I hope everybody thinks, and I think 90% of the people do, how great a job firemen do. Like I said, I'm real proud of them.
Yep.
They saved what they could and what they couldn't. They had, and that's really just what they did. And what they were, the heat that they were in, people don't understand the heat and the fire. Like they were talking about around Brenda's house up there in here. I knew West McKinnon was in on it, I know. The six by, and they said they drove around the house spraying. And he said they'd stop. Well, it'll be hot enough, it'll melt your reflection on your helmets. Mm-hmm. And it was hot. I had one fireman that showed up. His goggles, the elastic broke. And his eyes were swelled up, he's looking out of squints, is all. The firemen are... I was asked why would anybody that had cattle, why would they be a fighting fire? Well, they're fighting it for them and everybody else. And it's your job. You do it. You might gripe about it while you're doing it, but still you do it.
Yep.
When you get done, it's
It makes you feel so good when some woman runs up, throws her arms around you and says, thank you.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
Yeah. So you've both been in this country for a long time and seen lots of wildfires. Mm-hmm. What's your experiences with wildfires before? I mean, like, anything like this?
No. Ordinarily, you can get behind it and start following it and put it out. This one was going so fast, you couldn't even keep up with it. You couldn't get close enough to it to put it out, could you?
I talked to a fella the other day that he'd been talking to a pilot that was up on top,
mm-hmm.
and he said it was running 80 plus ahead of it was. So, you know, you're good and well, there ain't no way you can fight a fire that is heady.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't most fires usually maybe half a mile or a mile long or something or less? And how did this compare? It was a bunch more?
Blew them off the map.
Like I said, well, it was just everywhere, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
We've been on fires that was 7-8 mile long.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they weren't hard to put out. One reason, we had area firefighters here with trucks. This time we had none because they was fighting their own fires.
That's true.
But we usually would, Englewood would have Yate and Ralston, Laverne, Beaver, and we'd had Meade County. We didn't, you know, like I said, all we had was Iceland and Englewood. Mineola was fighting their fires.
Yeah, Iceland, and then Iceland pulled out.
Yeah.
And Comanche County was over here.
Well, I didn't. Early. Like I said, I know that
they were over here, and they had to go home because a protection was in trouble.
Because
they evacuated protection just a little bit after they did Iceland. So, yeah, everybody had to go back and fight their own territory. So,
you know, we've had Alva, Oklahoma up here and stuff.
Yep.
We've had border Texas, but everybody's fighting their own ones at their hot place, county. Ford County was fighting fires.
Yep.
And it's just something.
But we have another problem. We don't have, if we had 100 fire trucks, we got 10 people.
Yeah.
Well, we had 10 trucks that on this from Iceland and Englewood.
Yeah.
Well, and we had one break down, Iceland had one break down, and Englewood had one clutch going out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, that happened, I think, about the time that they told Iceland they had to get, that we'd take care of what we could.
Yep.
And it's, like I said, when you're down, you just can't fight a fire with something
but
like that.
But the thing was, it'd go by in one place, and then pretty soon here it'd come from a different direction. See, it come up the road ditch and got into town over there on the north side of, or south side of town, and it got Rick's garage. It done it so quick,
it was already there before you knew it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
My wife scared to death. I kept telling her, you know, we're all right. Don't worry about it. Well, she can see the smoke. I just keep coming down around Iceland. We had to get out of Iceland. It's just, you know, like I said, she was worried about herself and cats and me and all of it.
So did you take the cats with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The cats go first. Then I go.
Then you go. Okay. So, Olin, what's your most vivid memory?
Well, it was the feeling of helplessness. That's what I felt, was helpless. What can I cannot do nothing. Everything I think of to do is, it's not going to work.
Or it's too late.
Or it's too late, yeah. Yep. And then another thing was all my friends that had that stuff, I just couldn't hardly stand the thought of what had happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, they A fire takes everything all at once. Everything that's precious to you, besides your life, is in your house.
You didn't worry about your life, did you?
I didn't. No, I
wasn't
thinking
you don't.
About that.
It
was.
So, did you lose anything in the fire?
Well, we lost a lot of fence out west of town.
Yeah.
Trees and stuff, of course, but.
Yeah. Pasture.
Yeah. Here in town, there was a block, two blocks away from us, firehouse.
Okay.
So. But like I said, I wasn't worried about Englewood. I wasn't surprised that some houses burnt.
It's kind of a new experience, isn't it?
Well, yes. But I was worried about the fire. I don't know. Like I said, I've been on a lot of fires. It's just one of the trucks quit, because they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're mechanical. They quit.
Well, there's a lot of smoke, too. Doesn't that affect them?
They was in places they couldn't see.
If you get a fire right up at the truck, it'll kill the truck.
Yeah.
It'll kill all the air.
Yeah.
And that's what I worried about.
One of the things I was worrying about. I hope none of them guys get too close to that fire and kills their truck, because, you know, they're dead then. There's nothing there they can do.
I know George said there was a couple times when his tanker was pretty sluggish and wouldn't move as well as he wanted it to.
In and out of air.
Yeah.
You know, that's just something, but if you're in a truck, vehicle, I'm going to say you're invincible. You can do anything. You're on the back squirting water. You can handle it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Firemen are a different breed.
Yep, it's true.
I've been told they're stupid, but you know how that goes.
So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful during the fire or after the fire?
Just about everybody.
That's what I was going to say.
The hog farms down there, they sent generators up to us to get our water wells going.
Somebody said there were some oil companies that sent their water tanks up here.
Well, tankers.
Smithfield sent stuff, and then the well drilling company at Beaver, they sent a couple of generators down and hooked them up.
Mm-hmm.
And
really three tankers sitting up here at fire. I mean, would have been.
Yeah.
There was one of them out in the country. He had to go to irrigation well out there. He'd come in, and then they would pump off onto our fireman's tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I don't know how much water they hold, but they hold a raft of it.
Yeah. And General Inc. at Laverne sent up a couple of frack tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And trucks to fill them up with. Mineola and Laverne sent water trucks up to fill our water tower.
So how could they see when they were doing this? Because there's no electricity. Did they have floodlights?
Yeah.
They have
floodlights on their trucks.
We've got some lights up there at the firehouse, too.
That you can set up?
We can set up. But really, they didn't set up after, I don't think they was here after dark, was they, Ola?
Yeah, Laverne was their fire truck.
Well, yeah, they was
their tank truck.
Yeah,
but mostly after dark, everybody had headed
went to the
east part of the county.
Went to the
Ashland,
fire,
wherever the fire was at.
And then out south of town in the sand hills, that burned for 2 days.
Yeah, you know, we come in, we get back into town. I'm going to tell you what time. I don't know.
Was it Monday night?
Put it
or
that
Tuesday?
Way.
On Tuesday? Did you come back on Tuesday or come back Monday?
Monday would have been. If it went through Monday, that's when it was.
Yeah.
We come back through, and we had fire down here in just south town in the airport pasture. It was probably 3 foot high.
And I told Carol, I said, that is manageable. But I said, this other stuff isn't.
Yeah.
And you just can't fight fire when it's shooting up there 6-8 foot, really. You can heap it off of you.
That was shooting up 60
foot. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just said 6 or 8 foot.
That's taller than a windmill.
You're done with fighting the fire there. It's going to have to try to hold it, but that's all you can do. Yeah. And when you go 60-80 feet, it's another story. You know, yeah. Best get away.
Yes. So as the mayor of this town, did you get to talk to reporters or official people? Or?
Yes. Yes, I talked to Wichita Eagle, took that guy around.
Yeah.
Got videoed.
Uh-huh.
And after we got done, I kept hearing about it. I thought, boy, the next move, California.
Yeah.
So, movies.
When the governor came out, were you part of that group that went and met the governor or Pat Roberts?
I met Pat Robertson and all them guys. The guy from Wichita Eagle, he came down to the well house before mm-hmm. before Pat Roberts came up.
Yeah.
And he wanted someone to show him around and see what the fire had done.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, I just will do that. I can't help these guys any. They can get this tied in and get it going.
Yep.
So I went and took that guy around and showed him, explained some of the stuff.
So while you were in town during the fire, was it hard to breathe? Was it hard to see?
I never noticed. Did you?
No, really. You know, like I said, our house had, I don't know, a lot of soot and dust in it, of course. But,
yeah. Yeah. So you have to get it cleaned after the fire, or did you just clean it yourself?
Mama did.
Oh. So can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
Well, it got rid of a lot of junk that people never did take care of.
Yeah.
Positive?
Yes.
Worst thing about it, like I said, for everybody that was in the middle of it,
nobody.
It cost them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Build fence back and what mm-hmm. have you, and houses.
But no lives was lost.
Yeah.
Our loved ones are still here.
Yes.
Lost one, didn't we?
Yep, the trucker.
The trucker, yeah.
Yeah, and there was an accident where some people had minor injuries.
Yeah.
But that was it there. So what effect do you think the fires had on the communities? Is it more physical or financial or emotional? Or is it kind of a combination of everything?
Well, I'd say financial and emotional. Of course, that takes in physical if it's financial and mm-hmm. emotional, because physical's tied right in with all of it. So I guess all three would be.
Which you think's the hardest to overcome? Or what do you think's taken the longest to recover?
I think the financial probably hardest to recover from.
Fences and stuff. It's biggest financial.
Everything costs so much money to replace.
So you think a lot of people took advantage of the, like the community foundations deal and the KLA and that type of stuff? You think a lot of people use that to help recoup losses?
Some, yeah.
And did you see a lot of volunteers come over here?
Oh, yes.
Lots and lots of volunteers.
Hey?
What amazed me, I don't know, a couple of days afterwards, three, some people from Winfield came. Bob, they had hay and they had some stock tanks and stuff they'd bought at Tractor Supply.
Right.
The rodeo team back there, I don't know if it was Winfield or two towns or which way how it was, they had went together, they'd heard about it on the computer, not
right.
TV or nothing. And they went and raised took donations and stuff, raised some money, and went to Tractor Supply, and they gave me a discount on everything.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it all out here. And they had, like I said, they had a trailer full of hay, and they was at least three or four girls with them, you know, young girls,
uh-huh.
high school aides. And like I said, people like that is just something.
Mm-hmm.
Companies, yeah, there's a lot of companies brought stuff in.
And water, bottled water.
Yeah.
And we felt like we were in a flood.
Yeah, all like the pallets of water.
Yeah. Smithfield and all of them, they brought sent stuff. A lot of churches.
So did you have a place here where people could come in and eat food?
Yeah, it was all set here in the schoolhouse. And there was a lot of it here, and a lot of it used.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take to get electricity back in town after the fire?
Several days.
I don't know. I was going to say 4 days.
They have to replace
days.
Posts?
5 days, yeah.
Poles?
Yeah.
Wire, too?
Yeah, it took all the poles out from here clear up to like stories.
Yeah.
Melted the wire into different places. So they basically had to replace all the wire and a lot of the poles.
So what about the tree rows? How are they going to replace that? Or I mean, what?
They probably won't.
They won't be.
And how are they going to get rid of them?
Well, some of them will probably just push them up in a pile and burn them eventually.
Yeah.
That's about
some
all they can
will,
do.
Some of them just rot down. But.
Yeah.
I was told David Clausen said he's going to dig a hole, bury them, put them in there, burn them, shove some more in.
Yeah. So what do you think about the pastures? Have they come back?
No.
Are they?
Well, some of them have.
They've come back, yes. But you got look down to ground, you got bare spots.
And through the sand hills, they won't be back for another 20
yeah.
years.
You're going to have trouble with the wind blowing dirt this
and
winter?
We do have sagebrush. People hate it, but that's what's keeping their ground from blowing right now.
We was lucky we got a rain afterwards, mm-hmm. a few days after. Sagebrush started sprouting because you can't kill it.
Yeah.
And that's what started to hole in the sand hills.
So what about in here in town? The smoke smells stick around for a long time after the fire?
you get out here and stir this dirt up, and you'll be black in just a little while. That sucks still here.
Yeah. Did it smell for a long time after the fire?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah,
well,
used
it
to.
Had several rains before it quit smelling like
yeah.
campfire, didn't it?
Yeah. It really did. So. Okay, so what can you do or have you done to prepare for a future fire? Or what can the community do?
What can you do? Can I ask you that?
Yeah.
Because really,
we're trying to get damaged trees cut down and get them, we will get them where we can maybe finish burning them. After that, I don't know. It's going to just take time to get everything grassed over again.
Yeah. So what's the potential of another large fire?
Right now, you know, it's pretty great, ain't it?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I haven't been on fire department, fire chief for very long at all. And I was on the council and asked about if they'd like to burn this creek out. And other discussions went on. We did this kind of push back, and I never did. We never did burn the creek out.
No.
But at least the guy could, if it's burnt out and didn't have any stumps, man could slip down in there and mow it down and make it a little more manageable.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's what I had in mind when I got the county boys. I wish they'd have stayed a little longer, but, you know, they got their budget to contend with. And so I was very grateful for what they done.
Yeah. That helps control.
Yes. They done a good job, and I'm very grateful for it. Don't ever think I wasn't. I keep thinking maybe I'll talk somebody into loaning us a old cat so I can do a little more of that. I'd like to smooth that up where I can get the tractor out there and keep it mowed.
But, you know, he's a cat skinner anyway. He can operate one good.
Yep. Have to have the equipment and the budget to do it, right? And
the little crawler we got, it's kind of about to play out.
So what about your water supply over here? Has it been fixed?
Nope, it's not fixed. And we can't get, seem like, come tell us, well, we got it, and we're going to just give it right to you, and you can get started.
Then there's some kind of holdup?
It don't ever happen.
Yeah.
I'm getting where I don't believe them when they tell me. Yeah. And then I asked this one person about why can't we get money to get our water? Well, you have to have a plan. Well, my plan is, if I can get money, I'll drill some test holes and find a good well, and we will produce it. Mm-hmm. But I can't do it without money. The drilling companies and people don't want to come do something without any money, using their money.
They want it up front.
They kind of like it up front, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
When you got the government involved, it always costs hundreds of thousands instead of just thousands.
Is Inglewood better off or worse off since the fire?
I think we're worse off. We had a lot of people leave.
You can talk. I don't know.
Did you have a bunch of people leave because they didn't have houses anymore?
No,
not really, but we have less people in town now.
We had one left on Kenny Bouts.
Yeah.
But anybody else?
Well, now, Bears didn't. Raymond wanted to move over here. It didn't burn his house, but it did burn a lot of stuff around there. Who else? I don't know about Debbie Eisenbart, what she's going to do.
I don't either.
Of course,
she bought a house.
They're not in it.
She did
not
in town.
No, she's out there. I thought she had a mobile home, but she bought a trailer.
Oh, okay.
Was living in a mobile home.
And been by there for a long time. But.
Yeah.
And then Woodsy, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he might leave. But
he's liable to, because he went back there to build that stuff for that girl back there in Connecticut. That's a long ways to go for a carpenter to go build a shop for somebody.
Job's a job, huh?
I guess.
Money.
Do you have any other thoughts about this fire experience or that you'd like to add?
I don't want any more.
That's a pretty good deal. But like I said, I'm just damn proud of all the firemen, period. But like I said, since I've been on it for so many years, and I just know what they went through, and like I said, they went.
Well, you know, Bernie Smith, the next day after the fire. I went down. I don't know whether some mud got all over him or what, but I just put them all around him. I said, Bernie, you've done a wonderful job. And he broke down and cried.
You know, it's a terrible deal for the ranchers and stuff.
Said, I feel like I didn't do my job. Well, how can you do your job when you're overwhelmed so bad?
Yeah. That's right.
And they lost thousands and thousands of dollars worth of cattle and fences. And
you know, Bill Nye was told, visiting with him, he said, you know, he said, all the years I've been on fire department, never lost a house in a fire.
In a wildfire.
Wildfire, yeah.
In a grass fire. Mm-hmm. Never.
But he said, look what we did this trip. Yeah, but this trip...
It burned every house along the highway from Ashland to Sitka, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, there's one.
Is there?
There's still one.
Oh, that
the,
one.
The Gibson
yeah.
house is still yeah. there. Actually,
oh,
it's
lived in it,
all the way from there, all the houses clear up to almost the Clark Comanche line, because there's the house that Westrup's live in and the house that Hazen's live in. It got the Cohen house, it got the two Wilson houses, got what used to be the old Baker place, which was Edmonston's.
Yeah.
Where the Fry sisters live, there was Hex, which is now Milligan's, McCown's, and then Donald Edmonston's house. Everything's gone. And the highway was scorched. It was black.
You
right
know,
across there.
I don't know who it was talking to, and I'd been, you know, up the highway down it. And they asked me, said, how hot was that fire, you suppose? I said, 15. Probably wouldn't be 100. Oh, he said, the fire ain't that hot. I said, look at your highway going north town. I said, we got...
It caught that on fire.
Yeah, I said yeah. it. I said, that's...
In those trees that it blew the bark off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it... I guess because when you're on the fire department, you realize, read and stuff like that about the fire.
Mm-hmm.
In California, they have this every year, you might say.
Yeah. So did you get to see any of the strike teams? See them in action or see the airplanes or...
Well, we've seen the airplanes. I think that one airplane dipped out of our pond out here for a time or two. And then some of the strike teams come around and saw some trees down that was burning.
Well, you know, I wish somebody would list the departments that showed up. And where they was from, like I said, Pagosa Springs was here. I know that. I was visiting with them.
Montrose, Colorado was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
But, I mean, what amazed me, guy from Pagosa Springs, he was telling me, he said, how do you guys handle this? I said, we don't handle this very often. And he said, I would a lot rather be in a forest fire. And I would some of this. Well, he got here when it calmed down, really. And I really couldn't understand it because a forest fire would scare me to death. You'd see me running off over the hill. But
yeah.
It's just something.
Well, I've been close enough to forest fires to know that them forest fires get up in the top of them trees and just go like everything.
But, I mean, I couldn't believe it when we was visiting about it. Mm-hmm. Old Swatomy was here. I'd visit with them.
There were four firefighters that came from Greeley County, Kansas, in a car. didn't even have a truck.
Well, you know, I was in with Bernie about it, and he told me, he said, because I got a grandson, liberal fireman.
Mm-hmm.
And grandson told me, he said, I would love to be there, would like to been there. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a truck. And I told him, I said, if you'd come, I said, they'd put you to work. And there was a lot of them. England had a lot of trucks or people on their truck, not driving, but on the back, working, that weren't from this area.
Right. Yep.
And
a lot of people just showed up and wanted to help,
yeah,
however they could. So, anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.